This is the Day Zero update for March 11th, 2018. I'm Fleetwood and Alpha.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Dan Red Victoria.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Lee Lamb.
And most of us are on the mend from Friday. Still not great, but we're getting there. So this might be a bit of a strange show. The content only has a small part of that. So, yeah, we will get right into that. But first, we have been doing some stuff because that's what we do during the week.
Yeah.
So this week it's been recovering for me. Been also watching some movies here and there because my mind has not been really too much into the gaming thing, as it were. So just been doing that, kicking back, trying to, get rid of this cold that I got again because it wasn't bad enough the first time. I had to go for a second round, so that was awesome. Yeah. That's been it. I'm looking forward to getting back to Secret of Mana and finally finishing that up because it's a good game. And you should play it.
Are you playing the new version or the old one?
The new one.
How is it?
It's Secret of Mana.
Yeah, but like, does it? You know, some of those remakes just kind of make you like, even if like the content is the same, you just look at it and you're like, is that one of them? Because like I know with the Final Fantasy like 4 remake and everything, that looks terrible.
Well, it doesn't look terrible. It looks weird. It looks different. Got that weird chibi anime type look to it, which, you know, you're either going to love or hate. The color palette that they chose to use for that game is a little bit muted. It doesn't quite look as vibrant as the SNES version does. And I've also
What version?
As the
oh god no.
As the Super Nintendo Entertainment System version.
I like
there it. You go.
Yeah. So, it very much shows that that game was originally going to be a CD title. Yeah, because they've gone back and actually put in. You know, I'm assuming that they were going to do voices for everybody in that game at one point, and now they have actually done that. So that's one thing. But yeah, it's I've talked about it before on the show. It's Secret of Mana. It plays the same. It looks different. And it sounds a little different, but it's basically the same game. I do hope they release the Seiken Densetsu collection on the PS4, as I keep telling Square Enix that they need to do. Maybe one of these days they'll actually listen to me.
And on that Switch, too.
Yeah.
What? Just real quick, because obviously I haven't been around, so y'all forgive me. What system are you playing it on?
PS4.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm probably going to check it out on the Vita.
Yeah, don't.
A word?
Yeah, don't. The Vita version runs like shit.
God damn it. I don't ask a lot.
Just put it on Switch.
Yeah, we'll get it on the Switch.
It'll on Switch, got the collection.
Yeah, it'll run better. Because, 30 frames per second on the Vita is a nice aspiration. It doesn't ever hit it. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And stay with the PS4 version, remote play it if you got to do it that way. But Or get the PC version. That's actually a really good port. Because it actually supports, if you've got like the 4K or the ultra-wide monitors, it has support for those. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, check that out. So that's it for me. How about you, Pat?
I, too, have been recovering. As some of you may have heard me NyQuil-ing myself into a coma on Let's Weekend in short order. I am a little further along the recovery process at this point, and I'm pretty sure I'll be just fine in about a few days here.
You gotta get Phil's Canadian cough syrup, man.
Yeah.
And then I get you some Tussin.
Mostly, while I've been gaming, I've been playing Yakuza 6, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, little bit of Street Fighter V, but not as much as I probably should. For the most part, I've just been working on the World Warriors database and trying to get that all sorted out in time for the launch. That's been going pretty well, but that's been my week.
All right. Well, as for me, I got Breath of the Wild.
Yep. Now, this is something I've been waiting for.
You hate yourself.
So I finished Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and I took it over to GameStop and got Breath of the Wild, you know, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I only started playing it last night, and holy crap, is that game a time vampire? It just...
It really is.
I mean, it's I don't know how it is, but just the simplest things in that game can be just absolutely a thrill to do. And, I mean, just, it's like, oh, look, I got a sword now. I can swing, and I'm swinging, and I'm swinging, and oh my god, I've wasted 2 hours of my life. It's... It's one of those things. So I'm playing that, and I'm currently in the process of, you know, trying to get the other three spirit orbs so I can get the paraglider.
See, imagine if you had this game last year. Like, I was on my ass for about 2.5 months on that Horizon Persona 5. It was a good time.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Yep. If there is such a thing as being able to, like, I don't know, do like a Flowers for Algernon of your enjoyment for video games, that's pretty much it. But other than that, still playing Kingdom Come Deliverance, and that's about it, really. So, Dan Reb, what about you?
Okay, it's been a while since I've been on the show, so I've gotten a few things done here and there. Last week, I was pissed off with Monster Hunter, so I decided to pop in What Remains of Edith Finch, mm-hmm. and this game is excellent. it's similar, it's a walking simulator in the vein of a game like Gone Home, but to me, was a whole lot better. It actually shows off a bunch of different nuances with the gameplay. So it's about this woman who goes back to her family house, and her family is supposedly cursed. And you go through every person in the family's story and see how they die. And there's some pretty cool stuff in there. Like, there's a little girl who all of a sudden thinks she's a bird and thinks she's a snake. And you actually go through gameplay segments with those different kinds of physics. And I thought it was pretty cool. It's about a two-hour experience. Finished it, got all the trophies, but didn't platinum it because there's no platinum. Stupid indie developers. And very fun experience. I also played the bonus episode for Life is Strange Before the Storm. Those of you who aren't aware, if you get the deluxe edition, there's a fourth episode that doesn't necessarily tie into the game's overall plot as a prequel, but it also gives you control of Max again, who was the main character in the original series, and you get to use them as kids. And it shows the dynamics of their friendship and the innocence that Chloe Price had when she was a kid, shortly before it all went to hell, which happens in that game. So, really cool experience. I actually prefer the prequel to Life is Strange over the original, even if it doesn't have the time jumping back and forth. But yeah, and I'm also still playing Monster Hunter World. I'm almost finished with it. Good game.
Mm.
What about you, Chris?
So I have been playing the new Tesla versus Lovecraft game from 10 Tons. It is a dual-stick shooter. It's coming out on PS4, Xbox One this week. I think it's Switch in the near future. It's really cool. It's very much a kind of a standard dual-stick shooter, but they mix in some new elements. So you are taking control of Nikola Tesla, who has drawn the ire of Lovecraft. H.P. Lovecraft, who has sent his otherworldly minions after you. So you're kind of running around these levels, shooting at them, trying to take them all out, all while picking up, once you get a little bit in, you pick up pieces of the mech suit that you get. Once you get all, I think it's six of them, you can sort of form into the mech and take them down, take down the enemies a lot faster. You'll see these sort of portals pop up with Lovecraft statues on them that you have to take out, or else these bigger enemies come out of them. As well as there's power-ups and perks and all that sort of stuff that you expect out of them from sort of things they did with like Crimson Land and some of the other shooters, and it's really well done. I'm going to put in some more time into it, but I'll probably have a video up on the YouTube channel and sites by the morning.
Yeah, that sounds like something I want to play.
Yeah, mm. It's pretty neat, and there's kind of a crap ton of levels in it. Mm. It seems like there's about 20 or 30 in the... There's like the regular reality, then you go to the Aether reality, then you go to the Eldritch reality. So it's kind of sets of levels for each one. They're about 5-10 minutes each. So not too long. And at this point, I've unlocked like a survival mode. So sort of your standard arcade mode. I've unlocked daily challenges. So it gives you like a little challenge. You get these crystals that you use to unlock these other level of like bonuses. Some of them include, like, you know, you start off with a random perk or a power-up or something like that. It seems like a really cool game. I believe it's going to have discounts at launch on PSN and Xbox Live. I have to double-check to be sure, but yeah, that's a really cool game. And it's a really nice spin on some of the other stuff they've done with that genre. I also played Burnout Paradise Remastered, which is up for EA Access people right now. And that game is fantastic. It looks really good on Xbox One X. It's nice and clean. It doesn't look like a whole generation better than the original game. Okay. But it just looks like a nice, sharper version of that. And includes all the DLC, which I kind of recommend not jumping into early on, because that just breaks the progression.
Yeah,
that'll make all the early races, early levels of the driver's license way too easy.
Mm.
But yeah, I've played about like 40-45 minutes or so, and I've gotten like 100 of the gates, like a bunch of the super jumps and all that. It's one of the most fun game worlds to explore. I've also done a few of the races and yeah, kicking ass and that stuff, just because I know what to do with that stuff, but that's a really fun game. Mm. It's anybody that's like the original, sort of wants a newer version to play around with, that's a really good one to get. I might end up pre-ordering it for the Xbox One, just because I have a bunch of credit and sales are never all that interesting on there. So with the EA Access, I get 10% off, so I'll get it for $36. That'll be a nice. I have about $39 worth of credit, so that'll work out about perfectly. Yeah, that's. It's got the soundtrack. The original soundtrack I was listening to, Avril Lavigne. Lots of weird songs on there that I had forgotten were on there. There's like a Killswitch Engage song on there, I think. Twisted Sisters on there. It's like, okay, this is what a soundtrack would have been for a racing game 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
2008.
Yeah. It's like, we got some classic rock, we got some modern stuff at that time, like metal and pop and stuff. Hmm. It all works pretty well. I also played Sea of Thieves. They had their final beta before the launch. And so they've added some things to it from what I'd played a couple weeks ago. And there's a bit more in there. I picked up a single ship to play solo. I did a few of the treasure hunts, which still kind of works all the same. You go to this desk in the ship itself and sort of essentially propose. You do a quest. You have to start it yourself because you're the only boat. Then sort of look at the treasure map you have for the island and sort of figure out where on the map that is, that island is at, and sort of figure out which directions you got to go and all that. But there are three quest givers now for those treasure maps, those treasure quests. There's the gold hoarders, which is sort of the main one that was in the other betas, which all they care about is gold, surprisingly enough. There's sort of the merchant ships that are just about altruistically sort of exploring the world and finding these treasures. And there's the Order of Souls. I assume they're sort of the more supernatural group. I have not found those people, but I found the other two on the first island you start at. And it all works pretty well for the most part. I did run into a storm, or I was on the island outpost, sort of just looking around at some of the other shops that were there, and a storm just started going nuts around there, and which causes your compass that's right next to the wheel on the ship just starts spinning around crazy. I managed to get out of there without too much trouble, but there's like lightning strikes and the water goes gets a lot choppier than normal. I managed to find a shipwrecked ship and got the was a treasure chest hidden in there. Managed to get out of there without drowning. Barely, because once you start drowning, your health starts ticking down. And I got out with maybe like 5 or 10% of my health left. Like just close enough to dying. And yeah, I don't know what the progression is going to be on that. It seems like a lot of it is just doing these treasure quests for each of the factions. And as you do that, you rank up. You unlock stuff for them that you can buy. But I'm still not sure why I want to buy, you know, the different versions of the, you know, the guns or the swords or any of the clothing items and all that. I guess cosmetically, maybe, but I don't know if there's, like, any sort of actual, like, stat or attribute bumps on that stuff. It's not.
I don't think there is.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to suggest there is, but it's all kind of nebulous, and I wonder if that's just final beta stuff. They don't have any tutorial stuff in there or anything like that to tell you what's up.
You know, right now, the way that Sea of Thieves is looking, it's kind of reminding me of the early days of No Man's Sky, where you just kind of drop in and do whatever the fuck you want, and you make of it what you will.
Yeah, though there's kind of a little bit less exploration to Sea of Thieves in the sense of you have the whole map.
Yeah.
You kind of know where each of the islands are. You know, you don't have to necessarily visit them for any reason unless you have, you know, specific like quests to go over there.
Right.
But there are some areas that when you visit the name, it's all in red, which seems like, oh, there's some shit there. I'm curious to see what that is. And since I have Game Pass for another 2 months, I think.
Yeah.
I'll be checking it out when it comes out on the 20th, which is what? Next Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I'll probably do a video then once I start diving into it and see what the full game looks like.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks interesting. It's probably going to be at its best when you have like a full crew to go around and share responsibilities and all that. Because otherwise, it's just me driving the ship around. This time, I luckily didn't crash my ship and cause it to sink. I did crash it into the docks, but I went down and plugged the one hole and pulled out my pail and just took out the water. I did run into one other person. They were just running onto the island, dropping off their chest and all that. and that was when the storm was happening. So it was like, we were both just like, well, we got to get out of here because shit's going bad right now.
Yeah,
it seems like this is going to be very much like a YouTube, Twitch game for people with crews and all that stuff to do some wacky hijinks and all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to see how that game develops in the future after launch. Because the map isn't particularly huge. And I've seen, I think Giant Bomb tried to go off the map, which the water turns red, and it just tries to kill you, which they just kept spawning right near the boat, so it wasn't like any dramatic thing.
I think they're restricting that for now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the impression that I got.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Also been playing Mario and Luigi Dream Team on the 3DS. I'm about 5 hours in, and it's pretty good. This was the DS game, I think it was. Might have been the first one, I think, on the DS. I think we'll be talking about one of the other DS games that has come into 3DS at some point. This one's pretty cool. It's sort of the whole thing where Peach gets kidnapped, surprising enough.
Yeah.
And Mario and Luigi are going to save her. Luigi has to essentially pass out on pillows to open up the dream land that you have to go explore trying to find Peach because she gets trapped in there.
Mm.
He's apparently got the right, like, dead sleep ability that he can sort of open this up. Which has some interesting mechanics where you have Dream Luigi that hangs out with him in the dream world. And there are points where you take fights where Mario's kind of by himself, but he's powered up with Dream Luigi's powers.
Yeah.
So he gets a little bit extra boost on his attacks. Though he also, when he does the attack, and like a bunch of Luigi's drop from the sky in sort of like a AoE attack. Afterwards, so it can take out crowds. I'll just throw crowds of enemies in the fight, but then I take them all out because I'm a little bit... I've been taking every fight I can, so I'm a little overpowered. But, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm looking forward to playing some more of it. That's kind of the 3DS game I've been playing a little bit here and there as I have some spare time. And that's been kind of it.
Mm.
How about you, Lee?
typical. WoW. Witcher 3. I had to do a case swap on my PC, so ended up with some trouble with Windows and had to reinstall stuff, remod the games, do things like that, but it was worth it. That game is so good. It's so good. Oh my god. Guys! It's so good. anyway, so one of the things actually that I ended up getting into, though, while I was having to reinstall, because I had to reinstall Windows 3 times because, you know, Windows.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't reinstall the store. So I had my Vita down here, and I was like, okay, well, you know, if I'm going to be wasting this much time, you know, at least let me play something. And so I picked up Shovel Knight again, which I had played it at the beginning. But I'm at this point, I don't know if it's like this for you guys, but I have to be in a certain headspace to play certain games.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm just not – if I'm not there, man, I can't do it. And so I wasn't in the headspace really to play a Mega Man game, you know, because sometimes, like, for me, gaming is not. It used to always be about, like, let me get challenged, let me do this and that. But, you know, it started changing into like, okay, you know, maybe I need to do something to relax or whatever. So, you know, gaming sort of transformed for me on that sense. But since I was frustrated because of the stupid computer, it was like, oh, I should totally play something that's going to be difficult and I can actually, like, take out my frustrations on this stuff. And so I ended up probably getting about halfway through it over the course of 2 days. Just the first part, just the Shovel Knight campaign. And, man, that is a damn solid game.
Mm-hmm.
Really looking – and I bought it, like, right when it came out. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, the other versions, like with the – whatever the guy that runs around with the scythe, and then somebody told me the other character Spectre. Plays like a Spectre, and then there's another one. I think the other one plays like Ninja Gaiden. So I'm really curious to see how that plays out. But I've been enjoying that.
It's Gaiden.
Fuck you, Phil.
I'll get Phil back.
Touché, sir. I'm not even mad. Maybe a little bit, but not really. Ninja Gaiden, or as Gaiden, as us unruly Americans say. I didn't play that on my NES, though. I'll tell you that. Anyway, damn it, Phil, I gotta give it to you, man. You got me. I'm legitimately impressed. I didn't expect that sort of sharp barb from a Canadian. You guys are normally so friendly. anyway, so I did that, and then another game that I've had like for months. So as I reinstalled a bunch of stuff on my computer, I was able to move my Steam folder over, but I basically just had to go through one by one. I'm sure there's a better way, but go through one by one and have Steam re-recognize the games that I had installed. And so one of the first ones that I popped in was Dead Cells. And I have a friend of mine who's really, really into that. And I'm normally on principle, I have a thing against early access games. Like, I think most of them, at least the ones that I've experienced, are sort of – they're in early access for the wrong reasons. So where it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, they're just – this is what we're doing because we need money and we need to keep it going, and we might not really be giving you a full product. Whereas something like Dead Cells, which is a roguelike, seems to make a lot more sense to have in early access, because it's really, I think, important with the way games are these days and the way that most players can find to break things. I think it's actually really important to get your game out to a wider audience so they can actually tell you what is and isn't working. And Dead Cells seems to be one of those games. And in general, I'm actually not a fan of roguelikes, but I am thoroughly enjoying this game. It plays a lot like a faster moving Symphony of the Night. Of course, you know, with the stuff being randomized, and some of the enemies in that game are ridiculous, but I've really enjoyed the varying degrees of play. So, because you can play like long range depending on the loadout that you get, which I've been doing to play it safe. Because the other thing I'm sure you guys have heard me, if anybody's listening to me complain about Breath of the Wild, one of the things that's really important to me in games is actually a feeling of progression. And I think that's actually one of the things that Breath of the Wild doesn't do very well. And I guess for me, progression, part of that means like how your character grows, which is sort of, you know, the antithesis of the way a roguelike for the most part works. But Dead Cells is a little bit different in the sense that you'll get these blueprints, and as long as you make it to the end of the level without dying, then you save the blueprint, and then you can pour souls in, which is like the main currency. You can pour souls into that so that it so it unlocks for you, and then it can be one of the randomly generated weapons for you when you first start up a run. So it's a really interesting game for me, especially since, you know, my gaming is so fractured these days. It means I can pick it up and play it for 20 minutes, get like a good blueprint, and legitimately feel like I made some progress. So I think it's about to come out of early access. I'm not sure what their time frame is, but I'm really, really enjoying it. And if anybody wants to play like a Metroidvania style roguelike, it is a lot of fun. I definitely recommend it. So other than that, just doing the whole reinstall thing with my computer, that's all I've been really doing.
Yeah. Oh, alrighty. So let's get into our short stories of the day, and we'll start off with Valve, who, according to Gabe, was talking to Jeff Keighley.
Dude, hold on, let's interrupt you. I saw a guy at Starbucks that looked just like Gabe. Like, I took a picture. I will send it to you guys. I was like, Gavin works at Starbucks? So, sorry, continue. My apologies.
Yeah, so, according to Gabe, Valve is going to be making and shipping games again.
Sure.
Sure, pal.
We'll believe that when we see it.
Other than Artifact, I mean, that's all we know.
Yeah, there's that. According to Gabe, basically the way Valve works is they kind of will just kind of congregate to a particular project if people are feeling like it. So if they want to do a classic remake, basically anybody who's anybody who wants to do it just kind of has to go and be a majority and just do it.
Yeah, we don't believe you, Gabe.
So it's like organizational structure over there apparently doesn't really exist.
Nope.
So Valve may or may not be making games. They say they are, but of course, inevitably, you had the people that said, see, Half-Life 3 confirmed. Yeah, don't hold your breath, folks.
I asked the guy at Starbucks about that, and he said it wasn't coming out. And yeah. I don't know why, but I believe him.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Artifact right now, as Brandon said, is probably the only thing we really know about. So we'll see what happens. Maybe E3 they'll have something to talk about, but you know, Valve really doesn't really do E3. So
don't believe him. Yeah. Don't believe him.
Yeah, I guess Artifact probably might be something that Pat would be into because the Magic the Gathering guy is working on that.
Which one? There are several Magic the Gathering guys. Is it?
Creator, I think it is.
Richard Garfield.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's working on that. He's the main guy behind it, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That they got that kind of guy on it.
Yeah. It might be one to definitely check out. Yeah. In other news, public service announcement. Don't buy the Switch version of WWE 2K18 because it's shit.
What did they do?
Like, it actually has Super NES level slowdown.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome. I mean,
to the point where like the audio desyncs itself.
Oh my god.
Yeah, does it
have like NES style flickering? Because I would buy it just if it did that. I'm not
it doesn't do that, unfortunately. But yeah, it looks like crap. Well, at all, and somebody exploded. But
yeah,
on a further PSA, just in general, don't buy that WWE 2K18 at all. Apparently, that series is not really in the best of places right now, so might want to skip this year as a point of fact. So,
wow.
Finally. Next up, we got another quick little bit from Nintendo. The revamped My Nintendo Rewards program is now live, so head over to the website, check out what they got going there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Essentially, you get 5% of the money you spent in gold points. So those are actually worth something now.
Yep.
And you can essentially, when you go to check out, at least on the Switch, I think it's supposed to work on the 3DS and Wii U as well, but it might not. I don't know. I haven't tried it out there because there's not really anything to purchase there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can essentially use your balance to discount it further, which I used to get Never Stop Sneakin' for about $4 cheaper than its current sale price at $10.
Okay.
Which also means that you get a prorated amount of points even then. So it's only about $6, 5% of $6, which would be like 30 cents.
Yeah.
30 cents?
Sounds really lucrative for the customer.
Well, if you're somebody who spends a lot of money on the eShop, it's just a way to get yourself.
I feel like with the way Nintendo works, buying digitally on that system, if you have any other option, is dumb.
Yeah.
Considering Nintendo's track record.
Yeah,
it's
no offense. No offense to any of you guys that might be buying digital. It's just with the Nintendo system, that seems like a, to me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's more of a direct benefit than like Xbox Live, where they require you to jump through a lot of hoops, unless you just spend ungodly amounts of money on the service and get the direct cashback stuff activated.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that's not great, but this is just for any purchase. You're probably not going to be doing it on every purchase, but especially for people that just go in all in on digital and buy their retail stuff there, that will at least start getting you something back.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally don't care for digital purchases, but you know, for games like Golf Story, where they don't have a physical game, I guess it does work, but the main thing is that the Switch is portable, and you don't really want to bring so many games around, so I guess that would be it.
Yeah.
It also works for physical.
Yeah.
You put your card in, you can set it up on the the options screen just to redeem it for that. So you got the physical games, it's like $60 a game. You get the, it'll be like 60 points, I think.
Yeah.
60, you know, not nearly as much as digital, but you'll get something.
Yeah. So that's live now.
Mm-hmm.
In other news, Drew Karpyshyn has left BioWare again.
Well, I think what? But I think in this case it was more along the lines of he was there on a work for hire basis rather than on permanently like he originally was before he left the first time.
Right.
I got the link to an article at Game Informer, which I think somewhere also links to the statement he gave over at his website. But basically, he basically said, you know, there's not really any dirty laundry or anything that he's thinking of airing or anything. Basically, he just did because he's focusing more on his personal literary projects, including a graphic novel project that he's got in the works. But he's not completely leaving the games business for good, because apparently he's joining some other former BioWare people over at what's it called? I think it's like Foghat Entertainment or something. Let me see. Hold on, I gotta click on the thing. But so basically, there's two ways you can look at this. The first one is that he's basically finished the story stuff he was working on for Anthem, and so he decided to go ahead and leave. It's completely possible that Anthem's going to be a complete and total disaster, and we should all be very afraid for BioWare.
Yeah, it's kind of up in the air at this point.
Yeah.
Especially after the whole, you know, loot box fiasco with Battlefront and the delay.
And the disaster that was Andromeda's release.
Yeah, so yeah, be very worried. I would be anyway, but you know, I'm a pessimist, so yeah.
But the company he's going over is called Fogbank. Let's see, he's gonna be joined with some of the other people that's going to be there include, let's see, it's basically they're joining up with Fox Next, people like, on top of, there'll be Alex Freed, who worked on Dragon Age Origins, Ken Capelli and Jake Hughes, who worked on art direction and cinematic direction, respectively. And, of course, Karpyshyn will be among them, too. So
it's like the former BioWare alums are just kind of congregating in one place again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it definitely sounds like if you take a look at any corporate culture or anything else like that, you know, you don't have that many people that were sort of architects for other really big things that you did leave. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then go somewhere else together unless there's something, you know, awful going on at the place that you're at.
It's EA, probably.
Yep.
I mean, there's really no other way to take that.
Yeah. It's EA. It's the evil empire. So
I'm going to say again what I said the last time we talked about BioWare. I'm remaining cautiously optimistic about Anthem. Do not screw this up for me, EA. Because if you end up killing BioWare, there will be blood.
Yeah. Finally, if you had an Oculus Rift and it didn't work this week, that's because somebody forgot to redo their security certs.
Whoopsie.
Yeah. That's kind of a problem.
Nice work, dumbasses.
Yeah, I don't know how you managed to do this, because you'd think you'd have notifications and stuff that this stuff is about to expire. But yeah, when your signing certificate for your application expires, then the application just kind of crashes when it starts to load. Yeah, that's a problem.
Just pwns your entire installed base.
Yeah,
yep.
The entire installed base. Just... had issues. They've addressed it. The patch is out there now. It's been pushed through the auto updates. So yeah, that's fixed now. But there was a point this week where a lot of people were reinstalling the software, reinstalling Windows. What the hell's going on here? And Oculus was a little bit slow in their response at first. Not entirely sure what was going on. And eventually they got it fixed and they offered store credit just for the hell of it. So I guess all's fair.
Oculus works under Facebook, and if Facebook were to be down for 5 minutes, Zuckerberg would throw fits. So I don't know what the fuck happened here.
Yeah. So really,
Palmer Lucky spilled the cocaine on one of the servers.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going on with actually Palmer Lucky left, so he's not even there.
Yeah, but I was holding on to that joke. You can't.
Yeah, don't take it eventually, because yeah. So there's that. DRM. It's stupid. So there. All right, so let's get to our big topics of the day, and I guess we can't really not start with the White House and their lovely...
This is our lead story.
...discussion of violence in video games, which began with like an 86 or 87 second montage of stuff. Apparently.
Like random shit. Some of it over almost a decade old.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yep.
Yeah, The Verge actually went through and identified all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the oldest of which is, I think, from Black Ops 2, which came out in 2009.
Yep.
No, that was 2010. There was another one from 2009.
Modern Warfare 2, yeah. The No Russia scene.
Yeah, which you watch the person playing that scene, and if you had the context of what that scene was, you know that he could just completely fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love the Dead by Daylight clip, where it's like this horror monster throws a guy up on a hook.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's like a movie thing. That's like horror movie stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not anything even remotely close to realistic. But also the crazy thing, the Fallout 4 clip, that's from Giant Bomb.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I was about to mention that people ripped some stuff from Giant Bomb.
Yeah. People paused it on there and it says Reichert for the player character, which is Dan Reichert's character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they just trolled through YouTube clips and just pasted together.
Slap shit together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure half of that shit was actually cutscenes, which, like, you couldn't actually interact with at all.
Yeah, the Black Ops 2 was a cutscene. I think the Evil Within one was. What else? Fallout 4? No, that was action. Wolfenstein: The New Order, that was in there, and that wasn't a cutscene. I'm more disturbed by the fact that this administration thinks that killing Nazis is a bad thing.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing.
That's their base.
This whole thing is such a farce in the first place. I mean, you have. I don't want to. No, fuck that. I do. We have someone's racist grandfather as our president, who like Donald Trump is. If anybody was alive in like the late 90s when email chains were going around, Donald Trump is that grandfather that forwards you those email chains about how like. You know, there's the New World Order and the Illuminati is taking over and video games are rotting people's minds. And if only we just had more values, guys, and blah, 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 blah. That is who we have in the White House. And he surrounded himself with sycophants and yes men who are going to believe that. And the thing that he is doing that is really scary is that he's holding these meetings and things like that so that people think that things are getting done. The violent video games debate was had in the 90s. You guys remember that. This has been settled, but because racist grandpa wants something to blame because he's afraid of the NRA, it's just much easier to open this well up again. And then you have a particular group of people in this country that are super, super, super into what he's doing. And so they're completely willing to reopen that debate even though there's nothing to talk about because it's already been settled. And it's all just window dressing because they're not going to do anything about the gun problem because they're terrified of the NRA.
Yeah. And
it's much easier to blame video games for the world's ills than, you know, they're being – like, so just to take it one step further, and we'll keep it back on video games, you cannot say – that we have a mental health issue in this country and then cut people's insurance, therefore cutting their access to mental health help. You cannot do that and then actually and be intellectually honest with what you're trying to do. So you can't say, okay, you can't take away people's health care and people's ability to access health care and then point at this and go, it's a mental health problem and video games are to blame and all that, when you're cutting off the very mechanism that would help these people. So if you don't want to deal with the gun problem, fine. Then you have to deal with the mental health issue, but you have to be honest about it, and you can't point to it being, oh, it's about video games and what people are exposed to. You, especially when you have a president in the office who bragged about grabbing women by the pussy, who is currently being accused of raw-dogging a porn star while he was married after his wife had given birth.
Well, not accused. We pretty much know that happened.
Right. And whose main claim to fame in the early 80s and 90s, besides his real estate empire, was going bankrupt and being on page six in the New York Post, gallivanting around with models and things like that. So you can't also take this position and try to claim the moral high ground when that's the guy who is in office, the guy who made fun of somebody that was disabled, who has gone after every single person that he perceives as an enemy. You can't have these varying degrees of thought and then have it all come together and actually mean something that's going to be worthwhile. So the gun issue is a huge problem, but if you're not going to address it, address mental health. It's not video games. Address mental health, but you can't address mental health if you're taking away people's access to health care. And that's why the meeting was bullshit, because it's just to parade these people out and to make people feel like something's happening when it's not.
But it's also kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? Because the thing that gets me excited about this is – you take a look at anyone in the past who has ever tried laying anything like this at the feet of the game industry. How has it ended for them?
Oh, it's ended horribly. I mean, Joseph Lieberman switched parties because of this shit.
Yep.
Look at Jack Thompson with the way that he went after Grand Theft Auto. Ended up getting disbarred.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what happened to what's his name from California? The
criminal charges.
Yep, he ended up. Turned out he was involved in weapons trafficking with the triads.
Yeah, which is about as ironic as it gets.
Being linked to Shrimp Boy Chow, who's probably one of the most notorious criminals in Chinatown and California. So.
No, it's all just window dressing for these guys to not actually do anything. They're just trotting it out so it makes people feel better. And for that base of people that Donald Trump appeals to, they're the ones that were probably in the 90s screaming at their TV going, it's these violent video games that are destroying the youth and the rock and roll and blah, 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 the rap music. And just it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. If you want to legitimately help people, give them access to mental health. Make it cheap. Or make it free. Don't make people choose between getting help or getting food. And that's the position that we're in this country.
Yes. Yeah. It's
on the lighter side, though. Online, it completely went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, I don't think these arguments are holding any water to anybody with intelligence. One of the people who was there at the meeting was basically like, "Well, I know what the science says, but you know, I am a teacher, and intuitively, I feel like this is a problem." It's like, "Yeah, I know what the science says. I don't believe science."
Yeah.
So, okay. That's the kind of people that are responding to this. Everybody else seems to be looking at it exactly as what it is, a bait and switch tactic to take the heat off of the NRA, and that's not really working because the NRA is still getting hammered on all sides.
Yep.
So, yeah. I suspect the elections later this year are going to be very telling.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a fun month.
Yeah. So
well, let's not get too excited, guys, because yeah. There's plenty of people that – I read something just the other day where a guy went off and said that because the Democrats weren't doing enough about DACA that he was done voting for Democrats. And it was like, really? So the Republicans the Democrats and Obama tried to make DACA permanent. And you had a Republican fuck that up. And now you have Republicans standing in the way to prevent this from actually happening. So you're not going to vote for a Democrat.
Yeah, well, there are morons on all sides. So
that's the thing. I don't have a lot of faith in the electorate, period.
That's true.
Like, we just want something different. It's like, well, so what's been happening before is you've been getting kicked in the side of the head and you've been getting punched in the mouth. And now candidate C is like, well, I'll gladly wear high heels and kick you in the balls. And they're like, oh, that's something different.
Yeah.
It's still not good for you.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we haven't heard the last of this, but I suspect very little is actually going to happen.
I do too. I agree.
You know, given the fact that you know, there's interests that are related to Mr. Trump in the gaming industry. So yeah, let's just keep that in mind. One thing we know about him is he does seem to be a little bit on the nepotism, nepotistic side. Is that even a word?
Yeah, nepotism.
Yeah, so, yeah, keep your eyes out for that. So let's break that up with something a little bit more fun. And we have the results for Kimonichi number 2.
Yes, it took place...
Kimonichi.
Can't say it. Kimono Michi. It took place Friday night our time. It's Daigo's fight card style fighting game event. Kotaka Shoten played a fantastic set against Ito in Super Turbo that saw him win 10-6 in a 1-10. This was interesting because there are definitely more DJ players in the Super Turbo side of things than Guile players, but I wouldn't be surprised if this particular case study caused a bit of a shift in that dynamic, because Kotaka Shoten definitely did a great job of putting Guile on display and proving that he's still a very good character in Super Turbo to anyone who might have doubted it. He's just more work, but, you know, he did a very good job of showcasing the character and making him look very viable, very fun to play. And for anyone who enjoys some Super Turbo, I definitely recommend going back and watching that set. The one that I was kind of surprised by was Tekken 7, Yu over Tanukana, 10-9. This was a Shaoyu mirror match the entire way through. And I thought sure that... Tanukana had the edge on this one because she's been so much more active lately than Yu Yu has been, and Yu Yu was even talking about possibly retiring if she lost the set. So I'm glad that it ended the way that it did, and hopefully we see a lot more from both of them in the coming months. Then was the main event, which was Street Fighter V Arcade Edition, and this was Daigo against Tokido in a 1-10. Daigo playing Guile as has been his new main in the last year or so, and Tokido playing Akuma, because Tokido will almost always play Akuma.
Mm-hmm.
This was supposed to be like the breakthrough... the breakthrough kind of performance for Tokido. He wanted this to be where he established himself as one of the top guys in Japanese Street Fighter, or maybe the top guy in Japanese Street Fighter. But Daigo just pulled away and ended up winning the set 10-5, which Tokido was rather emotional about after the fact, but you know he's going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
It's Evos or Capcom Cups. He is still going to be one of the most dominant players in the community, but this is definitely something that he had his heart set on, and that really came across on the stream. But if you like any of these three games, I highly recommend checking them out. All six competitors did a great job of showcasing the games they were playing. And it's definitely nice to see something this different come along in the fighting game community, apart from your usual usual tournament-style events.
Yeah. Were these, these were all invitationals, but there any, like, money-changing hands here?
Not that I'm aware of. Usually that's a money match format, but as far as I know, this was just a challenge series.
Yeah. Okay, I was going to say, because, I mean, this was organized by Daigo, so if he was actually organizing and competing and there was money
involved, that would be a little bit...
That would be a problem. But if it's just exhibitions, just challenges, just for the hell of it, nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
And at the end, of course, they did announce Kimono Michi 3.
Yeah.
So look forward to that. I would guess sometime in May or June at the rate they've been doing them. Yeah. So look forward to that. They've got my attention with these events.
Yeah. I like the fact that they're so focused.
Yes.
You know, it's... You don't have to wade through pools or anything like that. It's just three games, two excellent players per game, just showing off what they can do, and that's that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daigo's definitely onto something with this, and I really hope to see more of them as time passes.
Yeah.
You also need way fewer people to pull one off than you do for a tournament. So.
Yeah. So you can do them more often.
Yep.
So finally, we got the big story of the week, which of course was Nintendo Direct. What was supposed to be a smaller event, it had some punch to it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get right into it, because the big announcement.
It was supposed to be smaller. I mean, they never gone out and said it was mini, and it was a 30-minute one, so this is pretty long.
So, yeah. But the real big story of that was Super Smash Bros. For Switch announced for this year.
Either this is part of the Wii U evacuation plan, or it's not going to make 2018. Point blank.
It's really difficult to say, because they've already announced a new character. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe they're working with the Wii U base and expanding on it. The only thing we know is that Masahiro Sakurai is, returning for this one.
Dear God, that poor man.
I reiterate, either this is part of the Wii U evacuation plan or it will not make 2018.
Yeah. For those people who are wanting a Smash Brothers for the Switch, which is a big part of the Switch ownership, let's just be honest. This is going to happen. Whether it actually happens this year, we don't know. Nintendo says yes, but it's a Smash Brothers game, and if it doesn't get delayed, I will be highly surprised.
What's the new character they've announced?
Oh, crap. I'd have to go and look
that up. The Squid Kids in Breath of the Wild Link?
Okay, yeah. So, thank you for having that on that.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, Sakurai has always gone a little too crazy with these things. But then again, you have this side where Nintendo hasn't delayed a Switch game yet. So I don't know. But
it's going to be a deluxe edition, kind of like Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
That's what I'm hoping for, mainly because the 50 character roster they have with four is huge, and it's for the lack of a better statement, it's super solid. If they were to give up on what they had with four, then I don't know. Does five get Ryu? Do they get Cloud? Do they get Bayonetta? It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't see why you would just throw away all that work and all those assets when, you know, 4 is a solid game in its own right. So, yeah, starting off with with that as a base is probably the smarter idea.
Yeah.
The other option is that this was in development for a long time, and that's kind of a small, fleeting possibility, because I think Sakurai went on vacation when Smash 4 came out.
I hope he did.
Yeah. And then he came back in 2 weeks. Oh, yeah, you're doing 5. What?
God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
And I guess one of the rumors is that Geralt is going to be one of the guest characters here.
Oh, fucking bias.
That was for Soul Calibur 5.
Oh. Or that one?
Soul Calibur 6.
Okay. Yeah.
Never mind,
they
not buying
something
it.
This year.
Yeah.
They're going to be one of the games, so.
Geralt and Soul Calibur 6, okay, yeah, I'm down with that still. I'm still good with that.
Yep.
So we had also had 3DS announcements. You know, WarioWare Gold coming August 3rd.
Hell yeah, but why is this only on 3DS?
I don't know. and we have, let's see, WarioWare. No, yeah, I just blew that. Mario & Luigi. Bowser's Inside Story and Bowser Jr.'s Journey. That's TBA 2019, which is a little unusual for Nintendo to be announcing something that far out.
It feels like they're doing that just to say, like, that'll be the one thing that they're able to list and go, see, we're still supporting the 3DS.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a, why is this taking until 2019?
Yeah, well, that's because they're gonna get to it.
Eventually.
That's why.
Yeah.
Eventually. It's on the schedule, kind of like how when you know you're going to go see a friend eventually, and they'll be in town eventually, and you'll get lunch with each other eventually. Same kind of thing.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, which I've seen people were not happy they skipped over one of the Mario Luigi games.
So yeah, yeah, I heard about that too.
Kind of strange there.
Mm. Yeah. So. So that's happening. Then we have Dylan's Dead Heat Breakers, May 24th, which I have no idea what this is.
It's a sequel to, I forget what they're called. Dylan's
Rolling Western.
Yeah,
I haven't.
There was a second game as well. So this is the third one, and I don't think this is going to be anything that people are going to be excited about.
Yeah,
I might.
Those
I
games
might
were
excited.
Pretty good, but not like anything life changing.
Yeah,
I mean the first one was digital only, so I doubt this will really put a dent in anyone's money.
Yeah, there's going to be a demo on May 10th. So people can check it out beforehand. But yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so, okay.
Yay!
Also, Luigi's Mansion is getting a 3DS remake sometime this year.
So that means that both Luigi's Mansion games are on 3DS.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't know why you wouldn't do this on the Switch, honestly.
Yeah.
You know.
Because they don't want to deal with up-resing the sprites.
Could be.
I think they were tying this into the sequel as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you got the sequel, and now you get the original.
Down-res them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look, guys, this isn't just Nintendo. It's a lot of people. Like, they're all about the taking the path of least resistance. And if you know, the jump in resolution from the 3DS and the DS isn't that high. But the jump in resolution to the Switch is considerably different. So.
Yeah, and if you're remaking the GameCube version, you're basically dealing with SD assets, which probably look fine on the 3DS. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's cheap.
Yeah.
Like, Nintendo is in we're making money mode right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is I mean, I stick to what I said a long time ago. Like, the Switch is going to be just like the Vita, except successful. Because they have Nintendo behind it, and Nintendo's not treating this as a second-class system in the way that Sony did.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of how they do it. And I would also argue that a good chunk of Switch owners, and myself included, if it's like, you know, something comes out on the Switch, we will buy it. But there's also a ton of people, too, that are like, I look at my son, like, love my kid, I'm not buying him a Switch. Not right now, not a $300 system that could get lost or broken or anything else like that. So I would bet money there's still a ton of kids that have their 3DSs, and you know that's also partially their target too, because I think I'm surprised by it, because Nintendo normally when they get that new system out, they drop the other one like it has a venereal disease. You know, like Oh, you like the DS? Well, guess what? Now the DS has herpes. So you got to get rid of that and get the 3DS. You know,
but the 3DS still has 70 million people that own it.
Yeah.
So they've got a decent sized user base to make something off of.
Yep.
Even though I think if they want to go for something that's fairly easy, as far as not having to really do much, put GBA and DS games on the eShop.
Yeah.
You could just bring that stuff over there and
that would make sense, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like I already have GBA games on my 3DS.
Yeah.
Thanks to their price drop in 2012, I think it was.
Yep.
My ambassador stuff. It's like,
well, I can show you how to hack your 3DS. You can put all that shit on there if you want.
I don't give a shit about that.
It's so good.
So. I got 1,000 games to play that are legit. I don't need to be fucking around with emulation.
Well, I'm looking at it as like, no, it's like, it's, well, yeah, technically it is emulation, but it uses the same emulation wrapper that they use for those ambassador games. So,
yeah. Sure.
It's quite sexy. And it's low risk or high risk, depending on how you look at it, because just like if you lost your GBA, you'd lose your ambassador games anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't take mine out. If I lose it, it's because I'm stupid and put it somewhere.
It's in your couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to me, what's surprising here is that, you know, in the last two generations of HD remakes, they take a game that's well-liked in Luigi's Mansion and put it on the 3DS when that system itself already has its sequel. So they're going backwards here. So it's weird,
cheap. Telling you.
Well, they kind of did that with the Switch. SteamWorld Dig 2 came out before the original.
Yeah.
It's all about that cheap, boys.
It's like, oh, there's people here. Okay, here's our other stuff.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
And finally, for the 3DS, coming out next week, I believe, is Detective Pikachu.
Yep. Also going to have a big amiibo coming out with that.
What is the deal with that? Like,
I have no idea.
It is Pikachu a weird-ass project is what it is.
Yeah, it's... I don't know if it's... I think it's an adventure game. I'm going to say that's sort of what it is.
It's one of those mystery games. I think there's a tie-in movie where Pikachu is actually voiced by Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
The movie is like live action, I think.
Deadpool is Pikachu?
Yeah.
Yes.
But the game, so it's not him. It's something else.
We couldn't get Danny DeVito, but we can get Deadpool. So.
I mean, I'll take it.
All right. Let's get to
And sort of with the 3DS stuff, it's sort of... We saw it with a few of the games that were announced for Switch, where it's like, it's also on 3DS. Like, this 3DS should also be on Switch. Like, they should be trying to just make as much money as possible and put it on both.
I think, too, like, one of the things that's probably worth thinking about with this, too, guys, is that Nintendo, maybe they weren't expecting the Switch to take off the way that it has, too. You know, like, I mean, think about it. Remember, they did this with the GBA and the DS. They were like, you know, we need to make sure that we're covered in case this whole DS thing doesn't work out. And so there was still stuff coming out for the GBA for a while after the DS sort of ended up being successful. But the caveat to that is compared to the DS took a minute to take off. The Switch did not. Like, the Switch was like... You know, it was like a bottle of water for all these thirsty Nintendo fans. Like, oh, you mean it doesn't have like some weird bullshit gimmick and just play normally? Yeah. This is great.
Yeah, and the DS was not successful. The DS Lite was.
Yeah.
It's like, as soon as they stopped making it look like a shitty handheld,
it took off.
Yep. Yeah.
So. Here it's like, oh, we had some people still working on stuff. We got to get it out.
We got to get it
out. Except for this weird Mario and Luigi game. That's still going to take a while.
Right. Yeah. So. And, okay, we'll get to the Switch stuff now, because it starts off pretty strong with Okami HD on Switch. I think they're stretching the term HD at this point. Because, we know the Switch isn't the most powerful system on the planet, so it'll do 720p docked at least. So
yeah, and it'll probably be $60 when it releases because it's on the Switch.
Yeah, so
I think it's $20.
$20?
Yeah, because that's what's on PS4 and Xbox One.
Also, it's
but
it'll be $40 then.
It'll be $40. Yeah. It's not going to be the same price.
Yeah.
God, that's one thing about the Switch. It pisses me off. But they're doing it because people are like, well, fuck it, I'll pay for it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's people pay it. That's
See, it's like the Square Enix tax all over again. Except now it's just the general Switch tax. Like, so I'm playing a last-gen game, and you want to charge me more money for it? And, like, there are a bunch of these people that are like, yes, please!
I need something on my Switch. Yeah, I don't buy anything.
It's a last-gen, last-gen game.
Yeah.
That right?
It is. So...
But yeah, this one will also have the same motion controls from the Wii version, which I thought was the best one. So,
yeah, but that's the other part. I don't want to swing my fucking Switch around.
You don't have to.
Dude, yeah, you're drawing. It's what it's for. But I digress.
Yeah, you draw on the screen, which is the cool thing about it.
Yeah, I'm sticking to my story. I don't know how you guys draw.
Usually with a pencil or stylus, you know, I typically don't wave my arms around when I draw.
Oh, I do. I'm putting my whole fucking arm into it, sometimes my legs.
Alrighty then. So next up on May 25th, we have the Dark Souls Amiibo, and they've got a network test beta for Dark Souls.
The Amiibo's weird.
It doesn't do anything, right?
No, it unlocks the Praise the Sun emote early.
But just an emote. That's what it does?
Yeah, it just unlocks the in-game emote.
An emote.
Just gives you that early.
It's mainly, I guess, to appeal to people that want a
Dark Souls
like statue.
Yeah.
But that's not ridiculous.
Well, it's not just a Dark Souls statue. It's a Dark Souls statue of probably the most famous meme to come out of Dark Souls.
Really?
Yeah.
So
it's the Praise the Sun guy.
Yeah, Namco made a bunch of T-shirts. So.
For those that actually care about it, the Amiibo is actually a GameStop exclusive.
Yeah.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
It's like 16 bucks.
Why make it easy
like
to get?
It's more expensive than most.
Yeah. So, keep an eye on that. Yeah.
You can unlock that regularly, like a lot of Amiibo stuff these days.
Yeah.
It's either pointless stuff, like what the cereal gets you in Mario Odyssey.
Man, that cereal was disappointing, by the way. Like,
oh, you get a couple coins. Great.
Let's see. Moving on, we got Sushi Striker, The Way of Sushido, June 8th.
Yeah, that was
originally. They could have used a jujitsu pun, but that would have been awkward.
Yeah. That has multiplayer.
Sushi Striker, The Way of Shushitsu.
I think I would have heard that, to be honest.
Yeah. You were going to say?
That was originally announced on 3DS last E3, so this is coming to Switch. It's going to be on both. I don't think it's cross-buy, because Nintendo doesn't know how to make that all work.
Other news, July 13th, Octopath Traveler, so they dropped the project, and it's just Octopath Traveler.
Yeah, they talk about mechanics. There are 8 characters, 8 classes, and you can add an additional class to them for more abilities. And they also have like a special edition that includes a pop-up book, cloth map, CD, soundtrack, and a replica coin.
Holy shit, I might actually shell out some money for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to see how much that is. I'm going to take a wild guess. It's only on the Square store.
God.
People actually buy stuff from there, apparently.
Shit. Because they make them.
That's where they only offer them.
That's the only option.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the only way to get Lost Fear physical.
Oh, this is going to be at GameStop.
No, GameStop.
$100.
$100.
I say thee nay.
$80.
I'll find a way to make it work.
Moving on, we got Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes, sometime this year.
Yeah, that's No More Heroes sequel.
Yeah,
it's basically Travis Touchdown goes into like a handful of other games. So they're working with like a couple of different indie studios on putting some of this stuff. Like there's an action game, a racing game, and a puzzle game in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can also have co-op by using the other Joy-Con. But yeah, that's out later this year.
Yeah, when we first heard about this game, I was like, oh no, he's going to be in a bunch of minigames. But after seeing it in action, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely does look intriguing. So one to keep an eye on for sure. And also kind of highlights what's great about indie gaming is just they do these weird things that initially seem completely batshit stupid and then turn out to be amazing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So, gaming in the 90s.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, indie gaming is one of the biggest things that's kept me into gaming. I'm not even interested in most AAA anything anymore. So, that's one of the reasons that... Same with the Switch, man.
Yeah. Well, it's partly because indie gaming has basically come along and filled the sort of mid-tier niche used to be much more prominent in the 90s and just kind of died out when the millennium hit. So
not just that. I think it's not just about that mid-tier or like the, you know, the AA games or anything else. And I think part of it, too, is that I find that most indie games that I play are way more focused. Like, it seems like most – if you play any of these big AAA games, you know, they want that to be the only game that you play. So they stick everything, in, you know, that they possibly can into the game that's like, okay, well, you know, now this game has tower defense too, and you can have a resource management system and an inventory system where you upgrade and do – but I'm not interested in any of that. Like, yeah. I want to be able to play. So, like, could you imagine Symphony of the Night – if they added all the shit in that they had, like with stuff like Assassin's Creed and stuff, you would just be, you would take something that was essentially perfect and just completely fuck it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I've really enjoyed these indie games too, is because not just for filling that mid tier, but take something like Axiom Verge, right? Like that Thomas Hatt made a game that Nintendo was unwilling to make for years. And that's the other thing that you see with a lot of these indie games now is they're making these style of games that all of these other developers have completely given up on. But there's obviously a thirst for. So, you know, that's the biggest thing that I get out of indie gaming. And then, hell, like I said, I just hope that the Switch keeps pulling them because my Vita is my indie machine. Yeah. So, you know, keeping it on the – on the but see, then it's a whole fucking account system in Nintendo too. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know.
Just to kind of add to that thing you talked about, Thomas Happ. I happen to know he's hard at work on his next game now. So
how's he doing?
Yeah.
He's doing all right, actually.
That's good.
You know, he's still dealing with his
How's the son?
Problems, but it's stable now. So
okay.
Yeah.
Lot of love towards that guy. Yeah. That's hard, man.
Yeah. He's a great dude. And, yeah.
Good friend of the show.
He's awesome. Yeah.
Probably get him back soon. Anyway.
I bought this game like 3 times.
Me too.
Yeah.
I got it on PC. Like, I got a physical version on PC. I got a multi-purpose
edition.
Yeah. I got it on Switch, and then I have the digital versions. Actually, I bought it 4 times.
Yeah, it's you can buy it many times.
Other people.
Yeah.
Some people deserve it, especially with get the physical version because he gets more money out of that one.
That soundtrack too, boy.
Oh God, that's a track. Anyways, moving on, we got Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, July 13th.
Yay! Another Captain Toad game.
Well, it's the same one.
Yeah, it's the same one.
Now people can actually play it.
Yeah, now people can actually play it.
It has Mario Odyssey stuff in it.
Yay.
And they had to remind people, like, hey, you remember that weird Toad guy that you saw in Mario Odyssey? That was this guy.
Yeah.
He had a game that you didn't play.
You bastards.
That is Nintendo's biggest problem right now with the Wii U having been a complete disaster.
Yep.
They've got way more people who own a Switch than ever owned a Wii U.
But I'll tell you what, I think this works in their favor, though. Essentially putting a lipstick on a pig here, but I think it works in their favor specifically because you have – no, seriously. Like, you have a group of people, a very large group of people that came back, I think, to the Switch who would never have touched the Wii U, and it shows in the Wii U's sales.
Yeah. I think hasn't the Switch actually managed to outsell the actual Wii at this point?
Yes. No, the Wii U. It outsold the Wii U already.
All right.
Yeah. But this gives them a way to fill their release calendar in a way that they had been completely incapable of doing on the Wii U by leveraging the Wii U titles. So even if we are getting, you know, a remake or whatever, or just a straight port of something, it's something else. I mean, they, PlayStation did it, or Sony did it with the PS4, remember? They were putting out a lot of stuff, like Uncharted was the biggest one that I could think of, and their whole reasoning behind it with the Uncharted collection was like, and same with The Last of Us, was that there, we know there are people that didn't play this.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have a PS3. So we're going to put it out and do it. And so Nintendo, I think this works in their favor because they can really jam their calendar full of old titles and new titles that also have the benefit of then also becoming portable. Like, that's a huge draw for life. It's a huge draw for me. Like, I look at something, if something's not graphically intense, I'm definitely like, you know what, I'll probably buy it on the Switch. I'm going to wait for it to go on sale because fuck the Switch tax. But just the idea that, okay, I could go play it in bed, or my kid could play something if me and my wife want to watch a movie, like, that's a real game changer for a household like that, like mine, and I'm sure with, like, a lot of people. So
With the PS4 stuff, that was more because they had Xbox 360 people coming in. The better console at that point.
And this is a simple thing where they had people that came back to the Nintendo Fold after being somewhere else because they weren't buying the Wii U, and guy, who can blame?
And this is another game that is also coming out on the 3DS. It says it got 3D visuals in it, so you can do that, and touchscreen controls.
Oh, yay.
I'm so excited. For those that haven't played it, Captain Toad was simply phenomenal. It's probably one of the most underrated Wii U games out there. And I'm really happy that it's finally getting its chance in the spotlight because, again, the game was totally great, and there's a whole lot of content in there for anybody that likes this kind of puzzling game. So,
Wasn't it 40 when it released?
It was
30 or 40.
Like 40. I think it was $40. It was a cheaper game, but there was a whole lot of content.
Do we know what this one's going to be?
$40.
$40 also.
Yeah, wow. Amazon, GameStop.
Not at all.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
All right. Also coming to the Switch is Undertale at some point.
My son is stupidly excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that trailer, especially when it's like, coming eventually.
Yep. Yeah, at least he's honest.
Yeah.
So, yep.
I still have barely played that game, but man, the soundtrack is great.
Oh yeah,
I was doing a raid one night, Nathan, and my computer's in the same room as my very large TV, and so I have open back headphones, so I can hear what's going on around me. And so I was sitting there fighting a raid boss, and what is the name of that song, Nathan? Megalovania?
The
one that's like, didn't it? Yeah, that one. Yeah, so I'm like listening to like the end boss music from Undertale while I'm fighting the end boss of a raid. It worked pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, look for that. Let's see what we have here. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy coming to the Switch July 10th.
Now people can stop going nuts on the internet.
Yeah.
It's coming to the other consoles. I swear I saw a Best Buy thing. That's coming.
People will go even more nuts when he's putting Smash.
Yep.
Yeah. You can almost see that one happening.
That's also coming to Xbox One and PC.
Yeah. Yep. So it's going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Except 3DS. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, why wouldn't they? Sold Game Pass on PS4.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's Activision, so they're not going to just lock it down to one console. So then we have Little Nightmares Complete Edition, which is hitting May 18th.
Yeah, I heard good things about that one.
But I've heard good things too.
Yeah, not amazing things, but seemed like it's pretty good.
Yeah. Then we have a port of South Park: The Fractured Butthole on April 24th.
I liked hearing the Nintendo guys say "fractured butthole."
That was
I like that you could tell the state of the eShop where he's like, and there's a season pass which you can pay for to get more content.
So I'm not sure this is a game that really would fit the Switch.
What, South Park?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? Because it's a more mature title, or because it's
Mostly because, well, for one thing, it's a little bit more technically demanding.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it? I don't know a thing about the. I have it, but I haven't even played it. So.
Yeah, it's
because it's all about what's appropriate.
So, I don't know.
I mean, the Stick of Truth came out on the Xbox 360, and I would imagine the Wii U was at least sort of equal to that, so yeah. It makes sense on the Switch.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that makes me wonder where Steep is, because they announced that Switch a while ago and has not been heard of ever since.
Yeah, I don't think that one's coming out.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that one's canned.
I want to see Steep 2, because if it's anything like... No, seriously, if it's anything the way that Ubisoft normally does things... The first one is always like the prototype, and then the second game is like totally just ass kicking. Like that was what it was like with Assassin's Creed for me. Assassin's Creed 1 was completely underwhelming. Assassin's Creed 2, I don't care what anybody says, is definitely a top 10 game for me of all time.
Watch Dogs 2 also.
Yeah, well, I haven't played Watch Dogs 2, but I know it's the same thing. So yeah, because Watch Dogs 1 had a horrible character that nobody liked, and apparently they really liked the 1 and 2. Same with Assassin's Creed. Yeah. Mm. Ubisoft, just put 2 next to everything and get it done. Everything that you did in the first one, and then iterate it on. Just throw it in one game. We'll work it out.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder with that logic. You know what, For Honor 2 is going to be like, because
it's probably going to be awesome.
The first one was pretty solid on its own right.
Yeah, so it's doing
The only problem with the first one was that it didn't have dedicated servers. It does now.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine the second one would be insane.
Yeah, so let's keep an eye on that. But anyways. Then we got an ARMS U.S. and Canada Open tournament coming at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're also going to have another global test fire thing on March 31st, so people can try that again. See if
it's sodomize our servers.
Yeah. See if, please.
It's hot when you say it like that, Phil.
Yeah.
And they're going to make one more plea for people to buy the game.
Yeah. So, yeah, enjoy. Then what do we got here? Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition coming in May 18th. I've never played any of the other Hyrule Warriors games, so, I mean, if I were going to get it, this probably would be the one I'd want.
You know, I can go out on a limb and tell you what the game plays like.
Well, I'm guessing you run around and then you slash a bunch of things.
Also use magic.
It will help your Y button achieve a shorter lifespan.
Definitely will.
Yeah. And then we have Mario Tennis Aces, June 22nd. I know a lot of people are excited for this one.
I just want a proper Mario Golf, man. Like GameCube style. That's what I want.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. I think tennis was the safer one to go with first, so
probably why they went. They're also going to have an online beta for that pre-launch. They have not announced dates for that, so stay tuned.
Yep.
Lee will love this. The rackets have a gauge, so you can break your rackets.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm buying it now. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's what I needed.
And it also has Wii Sports style motion controls, so if you want to play like Wii Sports, you can do that.
See, they just—it's like they pull me in and then they kick me back out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you don't have that's—they're not requiring you to play it that
way. Yeah, but no, I have a child; it'll get played that way, and then eventually something will hit my really expensive TV.
Yeah, there's a casual mode, a more hardcore mode. Honestly, this is looking like a 3D version of Windjammers, so I don't know. I'm for it.
Yeah. You know, I want a volleyball game.
It's been a while since you got one of those. Mario Volleyball, that would be kind of
cool. This is one of the conversations that we have in our house a lot, is like, what can't Mario do? Because he's like a professional athlete in sports, like all of the sports. Like, the only game that I think that they haven't come out with is an actual game where Mario is a plumber.
Actually, yeah, the original.
You know, like, there's nothing where he's just like clogging toilets, or, you know, my kid flushed a race car down the toilet and I need help kind of thing.
No, actually, they have not done that.
Real life Mario in VR. That'd
be a good thing.
That'll be The Sims on the Switch.
Yeah.
Or pulling one out of the old Game Addicts forums ideas, the Mario Pimp.
Yes, that was the main reason I bought the Amiibo.
Well, I do think Actually, they've not done a American football game with Mario, have they?
No, I wonder if that's you'd have to block his face. You know, like, how do you make that uniform through the
Odyssey?
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh man.
So there's that, and then we got some Splatoon news. 3.0 update is going to be hitting April 28th, and they're also going to be doing an expansion pack summer 2018.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So new content for Splatoon 2 fans.
Yeah. Do a new like campaign thing. That seems pretty neat.
Hmm.
New stuff there. You can pre-order it now to get some gear right away while you wait.
Yeah. Yep. I'm actually surprised they did this. Like, I'm one of the few that actually likes Splatoon's campaign. They're pretty well done. And this one is just a whole lot more, and it seems more gruesome, if anything. So,
yeah, they're going a little darker on this one, so which is weird. Right? So we'll see how that goes. But all in all, pretty solid for Nintendo.
Yeah.
There's a good variety here. Some of them are a little bit farther out than I would really have liked, but not bad. There's still a good bit of stuff coming out this year.
Yeah, like this was chock full, and we still have
E3. Yeah, it was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Now, if they'll just announce a price drop for the dock.
And a proper new Metroid game.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, we got Metroid Prime 4, which is apparently a thing, but we still don't know much.
So. Most of the dates we got here lead up right to E3.
Yeah, yeah. So, they don't. Well, July is the latest one. So
we got August for WarioWare.
Yeah,
2019 for the Mario game, Mario and Luigi game.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we get the rest of the year, I assume at E3.
Brace yourselves.
Probably. And you know they're gonna do a Nintendo Direct in April because they seem to be doing them every month. Or no, every couple of months.
Every couple of months.
Probably
get
one in May. So, so cool stuff there. And finally, we'll get to our picks of the week. This is going to be slim pickings this week, I think, because me and Pat seem to be the only ones who've actually
picked. I got one.
So, I'll start us off with Bloodstained had a little unscheduled update on the Kickstarter page. They got the orchestral soundtrack done, apparently. They've shown off some samples, and it sounds really good. And if you kind of just skim read that update, you would have missed the news that backers are going to be getting a demo very soon.
Sweet.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I am looking forward to this. They said, Igarashi said, it's probably going to be, it's not going to be like, it's going to be the beginning of the game, basically, and then he's going to pick out a particular boss that you'll have to end up fighting. That, you know, in the full game won't be there. So,
please.
Yeah, it's kind of tailoring it so to get a good slice of what the game is like. I'm all for this. I want to play this game. It looks amazing. It sounds amazing. Bring it on, because I want it. Also, listen to those tracks that are linked there on the Kickstarter updates. They sound real good. And, but, you know, given the composer, you should probably not be too surprised.
Yeah.
So, Pat, what you got?
I've got some things that have been announced for Final Round here in a couple weeks. Or is it just next week now?
It's next week.
Next week.
Final Round next week. Soul Calibur 6 and Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection will be playable.
Woot.
And given the timing of the event, I also wouldn't be surprised if Capcom gives us our first look at Falke at this event. So, expect a lot of fighting game news to come out of Final Round this year.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing more of Soul Calibur 6. I'm genuinely excited for this game.
Yes.
I don't know why. I love everything about it so far. Except for maybe that rock, paper, scissors mechanic that they got in there. But, you know, I could take or leave that. It's kind of very Injustice 2-y type thing. So, it is what it is. So, yeah. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, so we've got a big PSN flash sale that's going on. As well as a really good Square Enix sale, especially for people that need to fill out their Final Fantasy collection. Yet again. yeah, so...
At this point, you know, is there ever a week where we don't have a PSN flash sale? It seems like they do this all
the time. They do it once a month.
There are quite a few.
Yeah.
They just did one late last month, since there was one fewer week than most months. But yeah, they got a bunch of stuff that's on sale. Nier Automata is $30. I think we definitely recommend that game. They got the Final Fantasy 14. Complete edition for $30. Includes all the expansions. Lost Sphere is on there. If you missed that and want to get it now, it seems like it's probably a good game to wait on for a bit. Just Cause 3, the XL editions, $11. A lot of the Final Fantasy stuff is half off. So that means Final Fantasy 7 on the PS4 is $8, I think. I think it still comes with the theme that if you have the system sounds on, you get Final Fantasy 7 menu sounds.
Yeah, that's a great theme. That's the one I use one in the Final Fantasy 9 theme.
I turn off the music and just use the sound effects.
Yeah.
That's just great to have. 9 is also 40% off, so that's about $12 for that. And a lot of the stuff on the PSP is $5 if you want 3 and 4 and all the PS1 versions as well.
Yeah.
I'm guessing 15 is also discounted.
Yeah. Yeah. The new one just came out.
All of the PlayLink games have $5 too, which are
solid. Yeah, those are the flash sale. Those are some good games to get.
Front Mission's on sale too. If anybody, I think it's Front Mission 3, which is actually a really underrated game.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff here. The Lara Croft in the Temple of Osiris is $3. That's pretty good. I kind of prefer the one on the PS3 because you get a free Kanan Lynch DLC pack where you play the game as Kanan Lynch, and they just start off just cursing a ton, like, "What the fuck is all this shit?" it's perfect for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good stuff there. The flash sale also has some really good stuff in there. Dark Souls 3, $18. The Diablo 3 Eternal Collection's $30. Mm-hmm. To get the Necromancer stuff built into that.
Yeah.
Elite Dangerous is $12. It's a pretty good game to get. If you are a pervert, Galgun Double Piece is $7.49. That's a pretty good price to shoot high school girls with. Love Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Knack 2 is $20. Locoroco, both of the remastered ones for 1 and 2. Those are on sale. I think it's $6 and $7.49 for those.
Ooh.
Those are some good games to get. Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 is on sale for $3.
Well, that's a crazy one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the one with boss battles. It's kind of weird. It's not as good as the first one, but it's still pretty
PS3
good.
PS3 though, right?
No, PS4.
Oh, what? Okay.
Yeah, that one's only on this gen. What else is here? The Bit Trip, which is all the original Bit Trip games. That's $2. You get that on PS4 and Vita.
Mm-hmm.
For $2. Bit Trip Runner especially is really good on that one. What else is here? Is the Jackbox games, the first two party packs. The Walking Dead collection, which includes all three seasons plus the
Michonne series.
Yes, that includes that as well. Togitori 2 Plus is $3.74. That's a really good game to get. If not gotten that elsewhere, they got all the Trine games on sale. Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection's $8. The Wipeout collection, that is $16.
Ooh, that's good to get. Price.
Yeah, especially because the VR stuff's supposed to be out at some point in the near future.
Yeah.
And Valkyria Chronicles Remastered is $12.
Ooh. That's...
What system is that on?
PS4.
Oh, okay.
Yep, a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. All right, so you just spent a whole bunch of our money.
Yeah.
Cool, thanks for that.
And then I got I was just saying, I'm gotta go back to what I talked about at the beginning. Dead Cells is, I think, I want to say right now it's on sale for $13. Completely worth the money. If you want like a Metroidvania with some roguelike stuff put in it, it is really good. It looks really good. The animation's really good. And I really have enjoyed it so far. It's very fast paced. Big thing for me, it's got a parrying system, which kind of makes me feel very Street Fighter-like, like blocking stuff and then beating the crap out of somebody. But there is, there's a lot of variety to the gameplay. You can get like quick blades, you can get stuff like giant broadswords that are, you know, slow and lumbering, stuff like that. There is stuff like, there's one weapon that I like playing with. It's some kind of whip. And basically what it is it is like the holy water from Castlevania on crack and speed. And so I'm just like lighting everyone on fire from far away. And it is incredibly satisfying. So I definitely recommend that as a game, especially because it's like I said, it is an early access. I normally would never recommend an early access game. However, I know it's going to be coming out of early access soon, and I know that the price will go up. So I definitely recommend anybody that wants it or anybody looking for an interesting roguelike game that plays like a Castlevania, that's definitely one to get. The controls are incredible, by the way. That's the other part of it. There's nothing worse than playing an action game where the controls are mushy. It is not like that at all. Super responsive. I totally recommend it.
So, Brandon, Danreb, either of you got anything this week, or are you going to pass?
I'm going to pass.
NyQuil.
Okay. NyQuil. Good. Good. All right.
Remember, the little cup that comes with it is for amateurs.
Yep. So
that should totally
real men use a straw,
right? Yeah.
Totally should be. All right, so with that, remember you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast aggregator. Also, Facebook.com/Smashpad, and get us on your favorite social network if it happens to be Facebook. So with that, I have been Filippo D'Unolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Lee Lamb.
And we'll see you next week on the Day Zero Update.